Josh Groban, the beloved singer who sold over 25 million records and first appeared on Broadway in 2016's Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, is back as Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street, in a revival of the adored Stephen Sondheim musical, which opened yesterday. Here, Josh is singing to the straight razors that will become his murder weapons.
I know. Been locked out of sight all these years. Like me, my friend. Well, I've come home.
Sweeney Todd is home after being falsely imprisoned and losing his wife and child. Of course, he's seeking murderous revenge. But still, he sends his victims, from the barber chair to the flirtatious Mrs. Lovett, who then bakes them into meat pies for unsuspecting customers. Do we laugh or cry? Well, a lot of the first, but ultimately, we shed tears. Groban's loved this musical since junior high. He approached award-winning Hamilton director Thomas Kail to stage it in its original form, full orchestra and cast. Today's reviews are raves, but when we sat down in the lobby of the Lunt-Fontanne Theater last week, we asked the question on everyone's mind. Josh Groban, are you getting sick of hearing? What is a nice boy like Josh Groban doing in a musical like this one?
Oh, it's flexing my inner demons a little bit, and it's a lot of fun to dive into something that is against, you know, type.
Take us back to junior high, sure. When your love affair with this first started.
Yeah, as an introverted kid who was kind of always in the back of the class and had a hard time expressing myself, being able to do that through extraordinary lyrics and incredible stories and melodies like this one opened me up. It allowed me to communicate with the people around me in ways that I was not able to communicate just in my day-to-day life.
It's kind of interesting because Stephen Sondheim alluded, you know, when he was asked, he kind of alluded to his own stormy childhood, getting it out through this.
Yeah, we all have things that we can, you know, connect to.
Last time we spoke to you in 2016,
yes,
for Natasha and Pierre, it was you and your dog, Sweeney.
That's right.
Who's, we've since lost him, so sorry.
Thank
but
you.
Then you were talking about your love. And it, by the way, it was like talking to two hand puppets. I mean, you and the dog. And
he was my vaudeville act. It was really, he was the best.
Well, but that speaks to also who you truly are. You're like a hand puppet puppy.
Thank you.
No, you are. You're this kind person. Yet when people ask you the question, how can you be this? After seeing the play, I would think the hard part is not the anger, but the anguish. This is somebody who's been made mad.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When you think about it in terms of just who the human being is that became this, that's the thing that has been really fascinating for me to lean into. And yeah, I was talking to Michael Cerveris.
Michael, one of the previous Sweeneys.
Yes. And he said, you know, there's going to be things that bubble up, and wash it off with the makeup. I think the thing that makes it so interesting for us is to find whatever connective tissue there is in everybody. That's the thing that makes something scary really scary. Or, yeah. That's theater, baby.
That's director Thomas Kail commenting on someone flushing. Co-star Anna Lee Ashford also weighed in.
I can't believe somebody found a bathroom open in the lobby of a theater.
As Mrs. Lovett, Anna Lee is a marvel of timing, pratfalls, and a glorious voice.
It's fop, finest in the shop. And I've got some shepherd's pie peppered with actual shepherd on top.
It strikes me that you commit the worst sin, and I'm not talking about your character. As you well know, Angela Lansbury, the beloved, recently departed, created this role, and you make us kind of forget she even did it.
Oh, that's really a lovely sentiment in the way that I'm going to take it in as I went to the text and I went to what was on the page, what she laid out for me, what Sondheim and Hugh Willer laid out for me, and I just followed along her path. This piece is like all the greats. It's like Chekhov. It's like Shakespeare. It's like Ibsen. When the text is so good, you have to, you must, you are required to give yourself of the piece. So it's an extension of a divine spark in you. So I would say, I'm just wearing some shoes that she lent me, and now they're starting to fit my feet, but they're ultimately, they were her shoes.
Well, you put some platforms on them or something.
Oh, yeah.
I'll come again when you have judge on the menu.
True, true. We don't have judge yet, but I've got something you might fancy. Even better.
Tommy Cale, how did you balance just so many wonderful laughs, more than I remember from the other productions, with the devastation that's going to follow?
My feeling is that you can put both things right next to each other in the theater in the way that they happen in life. And I think that the beauty of this piece, I think that the comedy unlocks the depth. I think what laughs are allowing an audience to say is, I'm with you. And so I feel like if you do those early enough in the way that Billy Wilder in a lot of his films does this, Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler did it at the highest level in this, and we're trying to honor both of those because we want to make something thrilling, entertaining, hilarious, and we also want to break your heart.
Sondheim, inspired by Christopher Bond's 1973 play, also by Harold Prince, his director, who was in turn inspired by Bertolt Brecht. Sondheim also inspired musically by Bernard Herrmann, considered one of the great film composers. You just mentioned Billy Wilder. Who else, who do you add to the mix? Who inspires you?
I'm the sum of so many parts. I grew up watching television, watching movies. If you look back at the 20s and 30s, popular music and Broadway used to be the same thing. Sondheim was writing the score in the late 70s and the early 80s. Reaching back to something else, you know, these Bernard Herrmann scores. You know, we know him from Psycho, but there was a movie called Hangover Square that Sondheim saw that really struck a chord for him. But Hal Prince was a hero of mine. Hal Prince is...
You knew him.
I did get to know him. Yeah, he was a pretty good pal of mine over the last 5 years of his life. And he's someone who had a completely different technique for making things, but I hold him in the absolute highest regard. I mean, he's a complete hero of mine. And I wish he could see this. I think in a lot of ways, I did try to make something that Hal would appreciate.
I'm thinking about what I heard Steve say about the piece over and over again, which was that it was meant to be a comedy. It's a melodrama, it's a comedy. And so I'm doing that thing that we often do in Shakespeare, which is we thread the needle of doing heightened language material.
You there, my friend.
I'm your friend.
Come, let me hold you.
If you only knew
how with sight you grow warm in my hand, my friend.
Did you all get to talk to Sondheim?
You know, we did a reading of this, and we started the reading the Monday after he passed. And so I remember having a list of questions for him, and I almost reached out, and then I thought, you know, I'll see him next week. So now I ask him by going to what's on the page.
But we all felt very, very lucky that we knew he wanted this. This is something that he wanted to have done, and he was excited about it happening. And so, as Annalie said, you know, we're honoring him by trying to find his voice through the work. And he keeps speaking to you. You know, this is 44 years old now, and we find new things every night. He's still speaking to us.
Well, Josh Groban, he's been speaking to you since junior high. And Annalie, you were in Sunday in the Park.
Yes.
Played Dot. Tommy?
When Josh called me 3.5 years ago and said this was something he was thinking about, I said yes because I wanted to do this show with Josh Groban. And I said yes because I wanted to be around Stephen Sondheim and Hugh Wheeler's work. With this little reading we did that started the Monday after Sondheim passed, it felt like a chance for us to try to imagine together what it could be.
You're all nodding, yeah.
And I thought, I want to make him proud. Steve was a great puzzler. He loved solving puzzles. He loved games. And his work is a kind of puzzle because he leaves us clues that we might not find until we're 6 months in mm-hmm. or 3 months in.
Can you give me an example?
Oh, gosh. You know, this idea of, you know, silver's good enough for me.
And this is Annalie's line.
This is Annalie's line. Thinking about the way that we now relate to silver, right? I think of the Olympics. I think I'll be second place.
Oh.
I'll be right next to you. If I can't be the thing that you want, then I'll be the thing right next to it. But the other thing that I was so struck by within that first week, and this to me is the greatest of all of the things that I feel like he left us, that this isn't just a ghost story. It's a love story. There is so much love in this show. And I think what these two embody, along with this company so gorgeously every night, is a kind of ache and a yearning. So I really appreciate when you talk about the fact this isn't the show that's about anger. It's about anguish. Mm-hmm. And I think you're really right. And I think what Josh is doing up there, the ache of that is so apparent.
Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, the elevator pitch of a story like this is obviously so maniacal and crazy, but the through line is love. And then on the opposite side of that, the loss, which is the rent due for loving greatly, is, I think, what makes this one of just the great pieces of theater of all time up there with Shakespeare and why people connect to it on a very visceral and very emotional level. We hear the sniffles, we hear the gasps. That's the alchemy of it.
Did you talk to Sondheim over the years about your hopes for this?
He knew, obviously. He greenlit it for me to do it, and we spoke briefly about doing the role, and he was excited for that. But our conversations really were more kind of life, and, you know, he loved to just talk about the news, and, you know, of course, I would have loved to have picked his brain about every show and every dream and every, you know, it's so hard not to bubble over when you're sitting with a man of that influence and inspiration in your life. So, you know, I mean, that's a long-winded say of saying I tried to just play it cool every time I was with him, you know? And really, I didn't want to jinx it. So this is a miracle that we're all just here and we get to do this.
Josh Groban, along with co-star Annalee Ashford and director Thomas Kail. Sweeney Todd opened on Broadway last night. Run, don't walk.